Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
WTF1 podcast with me, Amber Jones, and once again, the lovely Hayden Gullis. We're going to be chatting all things Monaco. Now, Hayden, I don't know how you found this race. I'm going to guess what your opinions are. The beginning, I thought we were ready for some action, something really exciting, and then unfortunately, it just didn't carry through all the way to the end.
Do you know what? Everyone's going to hate me, but I absolutely loved it. I think it was probably one of the best races that we've had all season. There was action. Wait, hang on a minute. That was that was IndyCar. Sorry, my bad. No, Monaco F1. No, was boring. Nothing happened in the race. But again, I don't. It's weird because I don't watch Monaco for the races. I already know what I'm getting in the race. I already know that we're not going to have a good race, but we're going to have a great qualifying session. And yes, qualifying was amazing. And yeah, as you say, it started off well, Sainz getting the puncture and the big incident that happened at the start. But then after that, nothing.
Just literally dead.
Became a management race. And we'll get onto the topic of what we need to fix it. But yeah, for now, it was frustrating. It was dull when I fell asleep twice.
Literally. I think that's what makes me upset because I love Monaco. I know everyone has, you know, their say on Monaco. I love it just for the fact that I'm like, oh, who's going to touch the wall? Oh, who's going to go? Like, I kind of like being on edge. But unfortunately, I didn't really have that. And at the start, it was crazy. I thought, can we see this for the rest of the race? Are people going to make mistakes? Are we going to see loads of collisions? But before we dive into it properly, massive congrats on Charles Leclerc for breaking the Monaco curse. That's the best thing that came out of this Grand Prix.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, it's finally happened. How many seasons have we had incidents or these curses, these plays, these DNFs, these D not starts, the pit stop incidents or the penalty last season? And then finally, everything went his way. And do you know what? He's probably very, very happy that we had the red flag and we had everybody go back into the positions they were supposed to be, because it just really helped having Carlos in that situation where, do you know, Carlos was fully in Charles' corner. Like, on the team radio, we need to do this to help Charles. We need to make sure we protect Charles. We need to do this. We need to do that. Like, the full team was behind this victory. It was very much a great team effort. But finally for Charles, I was watching with my girlfriend. She was crying at the time. I think there was the prince was crying as well. I think it's just meant so much to so many people. And we kind of missed that in Formula One, and you've got to look at dominance, and you've got to be look at it and be really proud of those people, and to allow them to shine in that accomplishment, because it is such an accomplishment to be so dominant in a sport. But we do miss out on passionate moments like this, where, you know, Max Verstappen wins 10 races in a row, and he's kind of like, it's not bored of it, it's still a great feeling, but it's like not quite as much as the first race or the first race win in a while. And then for Charles to get that first race win and also to do it at Monaco, that first race win since 2022, Austria, I believe it was, and to do it at Monaco, the emotion that came out of that is just incredible. And we've missed that as Formula One fans.
Yeah, exactly. Like, the thing is, Monaco wasn't very exciting. I think the fact that it wasn't a Max Verstappen win added something else. And then the fact it was a Charles win, which everyone was rooting for Charles. I was talking to a few people in the comments on WTF1, and I was like, come on, Charles, get this win. We're going to break this curse. We're not going to jinx this race. You know, and a few of you in the comments were like, Amber, get real. There's going to be something that's going to happen. Ferrari are going to ruin the strategy, or something's going to go wrong, and it's not going to happen. But it did happen in the end. And that's what we all love to see. So I'm super happy. But like you say about Sainz, it was after quali, he was like, all I want is a Ferrari 1-2 and a Charles win. And I thought, wow, for his teammate to do that, you know, he's not going to fight for the win. He knows he wants Charles to get it. This is a great opportunity for Ferrari. The Red Bulls were struggling. I liked that dynamic. And you can see that Carlos is a great team player. Although he can be aggressive and he wants to get those wins himself and get podiums for Ferrari, he's like, right, I'll step back. I'll let Charles have this one. We're going to work together. But again, a massive congrats to Piastri, who put in a great weekend. But then again, there wasn't too much going on in the race anyway. So we had the incident at the beginning, which was amazing for Sainz. I was like, right, that's it. Sainz is out. You know, he's had that lockup. He's gone off. He's had a little bit of a collision with Piastri. That safety car was a massive blessing for Sainz in the end. But of course, it was Hülkenberg and Magnussen caught up in something again.
I was furious because I put Hülkenberg in my fantasy team and I star-drived him and they got disqualified in qualifying and then they didn't even start the race. So it did not go well. So close for Hülkenberg. Like he was so close to just getting through that gap and unfortunately, Perez's car, once it rotated, just claimed him. Joe was just slammed on the brakes. Like, you guys, do what you want to do. I'm staying here. I'm staying as far away as possible. It's unfortunate. I think the racing incident was the right way to go about it. I know some people are like, oh, what's Magnussen doing sticking his nose in there? Which I think you're right to say. Perez as well. Oh, why is Perez closing the door? There's a car alongside. Which I think people are right to say. But there's so many elements that go into it, especially on a first lap at Monaco. It's not straight up that hill. It winds to the right and it winds to the left. And, you know, you've got to try and feed your way through the barriers. You can go too wide through there, of course, but it's up to both drivers to play that. Magnussen just had his front wing up alongside, isn't really entitled to room. Perez probably wasn't expecting him to either go for it or is watching that he's got Hülkenberg one side and Magnussen the other side, who are both, you know, front wings just away from that rear tyre. So it's kind of just holding that middle ground to be like, I don't know which way to go to not crash into either one of them. So it's just a very unfortunate incident that happened at the beginning that, you know, I don't think it would have affected any of their races anyway. In qualifying, you know, in Monaco, if you're outside the points, you're probably going to be outside the points in the race unless something crazy happens. Mm-hmm. Actually, the first time we've ever had the same top 10 as qualifying in a race, which is unbelievable for the wrong reasons. but we'll get to that.
It's Monaco. So, you know, are you expecting people to have these crazy overtakes? No. Are you expecting loads of grid positions to change? Not really, unless something goes wrong. But going back to the incident, obviously, with Magnussen and Perez, when I first watched it, I thought, Magnussen, come on, what's he done? When you analyse it, Perez was looking in his mirrors, he knew that Magnussen was there. We've said this on the podcast before. If Magnussen is behind you, you know, be careful. You need to be on edge. You don't know what he's going to do next. So initially I was like, it's Magnussen's fault. Then I was like, no, because Perez could have moved out the way slightly. It's difficult because you've got, you know, the two of the Haases and Perez sort of involved in this little bundle. So you have to still be careful and be looking out everywhere. But then I'm like, yeah, it was a racing incident at the end of it. And obviously that's what the result was anyway. Because Perez could have moved over, Magnussen could have backed out, but they're fighting for it. You know, we did see some overtakes at the Monaco Grand Prix. We saw Logan Sargeant as well. Logan Sargeant had a great overtake, and we were all like, whoa, pop off Logan Sargeant when we were watching that race. But yeah, there was a few overtakes in there, which kind of added a bit of drama.
Yeah, Valtteri Bottas. I think it was Logan Sargeant actually getting overtaken, unless I was asleep during the Logan Sargeant overtake.
No, there was a Logan Sargeant overtake.
There were moments I did snooze, I'm not going to lie. I know Bottas got past, I believe it was Bottas getting past Sargeant into, or maybe it was Sargeant getting past Bottas. I think it was Bottas Sargeant in towards Mirabeau, downhill before the hairpin. And then Stroll, I believe, got Sargeant in the tunnel, or it was Zhou in the tunnel. Mad that nothing really happened, and I can't actually remember who it was who was getting those overtakes.
I was going to say that's the problem at the end because, you know, no one was going to make those pit stops. They were like, right, we're just going to manage these tyres and this is it now. Yeah. And we lost all that drama towards the end. We were like, oh, yeah, okay, nothing's going to happen. Even Ted was making comments like, oh, great, this is the end of it now. You know, there's no pit stops. There's probably going to be no incidents, no extra safety cars or anything. So that's why it got really dull towards the end. And I didn't want to take that sort of negative vibe because I was like, no, it's a Charles win. It's a Charles win. Happy, happy, happy. But I did lose that momentum towards the end of the race.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. It's the problem is that the fact that the hard tyres and even the mediums on George Russell can do 76 laps, because obviously they missed those two, three laps, maybe 75 laps of a race. That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous behaviour from Pirelli to bring tyres that can do that. And this is what I keep on banging on about on this podcast. Scrap the free tyre rule. I hate the hardest tyre compound because it just allows the teams to go, okay, we can just go for this and we don't have to push in a race. Everybody's just going to drive in management mode all the way to the end. And we saw that, you know, exaggerated massively here at Monaco, that the drivers were not pushing, and that's why the mistakes didn't creep in. We did see it from Stroll, because he was one of the only drivers who really had an opportunity to push. He had that pit stop, he took it, he was trying to catch up to Gasly, he made the mistake, he clipped the wall with his rear tyre, got a puncture. Now, I'm not saying that every other driver would have made a mistake if they were pushing in Monaco, because that's why these drivers are so good, and that's why Monaco in the race is so good, because you've got these 20 drivers pushing hard for 78 laps in between the barriers, flat out, whereas, you know, this was driving at 70% for all the drivers. They were just literally like, okay, we're going to slow down now to make sure that Norris can't box, and I'm going to slow down to make sure that you can't box, and I'm going to slow down to allow my teammate to box. And it's just, it's not racing. It's not. And you know, I made a joke about it earlier with the Indy 500, but, you know, I've really got into IndyCar recently, and it's just the difference between the two motorsports and the two, you know, you've got the Triple Crown. You've got Indy 500, you've got Monaco, and you've got the Le Mans 24 Hours. Now, I haven't watched too much of the Le Mans 24 Hours, so I'm going to take the one out, but if I was going to pick between those two, which is the better from the Triple Crown, it's the Indy 500, because as a spectacle, it's so much more interesting, because you've got people pushing all the way throughout the race. You've got people fighting for the lead throughout the race. Whereas for this, you know, no one wants to make a move because there's too much risk in doing so. Unless you're at the back, and then it's like, well, I'm out of the points anyway, so I might as well go for it. But if you're in the points, it's like, I could go for the move, but I'm probably not going to work out. And the same with, like, McLaren. They had a small opportunity to box with Norris, but if they made a pit stop mistake and they lost a second, they're behind Russell. Russell defends, probably can't get past, and we're stuck there. So it just takes away. And there's a bit of fault for Monaco, for sure. The cars have outgrown the circuit, and it makes it more difficult to overtake. The braking distances are shorter, which means that you can't necessarily lunge one up the inside. But the fact that there is no tyre strategy at all, even for the race, and this isn't just a Monaco, this is something that happens for other races. Bring back two stoppers, make the drivers push throughout the races, even if you have to do, as drivers have said, mandatory pit stops, that is two mandatory pit stops or something like that. Make the drivers push in these races, not just give them the opportunity to go, okay, yeah, I'm in the lead, I'm going to drive as slow as I can, and I'm going to win this race.
That is the problem. I think that F1 will catch on to all the problems that they've got at the minute. Maybe at the end of the season or for the next season or in the next few years to come. I think for now it's going to stay like this. But the more that people complain, because everyone is saying the race is getting more boring, the car's too big for the track, we need to change parts of the cars to enable closer racing, and they've tried to do it, but it's not really worked. It's obviously made everyone bunch up, but it's not changing the racing as per se. I do think they'll address it, but not yet. Because to F1, you know, they're still making money. They still have a lot of fans. You know, there's still a lot of production going on. They're not per se losing a lot of fans, because if you're an F1 fan, you kind of stay in the sport for a long time. We've seen that the older demographic of fans are dropping slightly. And like even my dad, for example, he's the one that got me into F1. And he's like, I barely watch it anymore just because it's not racing. He did watch Monaco, and I said, Dad, that was the wrong race to start watching again. Why would you do that? You know that. And he was like, yeah, but I just wanted to see how it was going to play out. Not a Max win. So he was like, maybe we can take something from that. But again, it's not a track that's probably best for Formula One, modern Formula One. But this poses the question of, should it stay on the calendar? And we get this every year. Should Monaco be on the calendar? I think yes, but you just have to accept it's more of a parade. It's more of an event. It's not going to be close racing. It's not going to be super crazy and dramatic. I mean, it might be for parts of the race, but not for the whole thing. But like you say, we had this conversation with Imola, for example, or other tracks. We're like, should it stay on the calendar? Should it change? We're just going to see this with most of the tracks now because of where Formula One is at this time. But Monaco brings the glitz and the glamour and the celebrities, and it's obviously so historic. You can't take that off the track, and it's just that we need to accept that it's not going to be a super exciting race. But Formula One needs to address these problems.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Yeah, I think, look, I love Monaco as a track that I get to drive on the game. I think it's so much fun. I think it's incredible to watch a qualifying lap around there. And it's a different test for drivers. You know, I think if we're going to have 24 races on the calendar, let's try and make races as different from each other as possible. And Monaco is unique in its sense that, you know, it's all about qualifying. And overtaking is so difficult. But if you do manage to make an overtake, you know, that should be a massive accomplishment that everybody's praising. So I do think Monaco deserves its place on the calendar. We need to fix the cars. And I think they've done a good job in bringing the teams all close together. That's good. And I think in terms of allowing the cars to follow, I think is better than maybe what it was five something years ago.
Yeah.
But the problem is they're too big. They're too sluggish. They don't look agile. You know, you look back at late 2000s, early 2010s, and they were just a lot more agile. And they looked better. And yes, okay, they were still quite long then, and they can definitely be shortened in terms of the wheelbase, and that will, of course, create opportunities. But I don't think it's necessarily track-specific, because you look at something like Formula E, and they were banging on about having over 100 overtakes at a race like that. And you could be like, oh, well, that's Formula E. You know, I don't like Formula E for this, that, whatever.
Yeah.
That's fine, you know. If you don't like Formula E, that's fine. But you can't hide the fact that they overtake at Monaco. So overtaking certainly is possible. You know, you need to just make sure you have the cars that were able to do that. Even in F2, there was great overtakes, and it was down to tyre deficit. You know, there was a great overtake, Antonelli and Behrmann. Behrmann overtook his teammate Antonelli. Antonelli just came out of the box. His tyres went up to temperature. So Behrmann was trying to find a way through. Antonelli was defending perfectly, defending on the inside of the hairpin. Behrmann did a switchback manoeuvre at the hairpin, one of the slowest corners on the calendar, switched it back, got it round him. Overtaking's possible. The cars just need to be suited for that. You know, if we're so focused about being the pinnacle of motorsport that the cars have to be so fast and the fastest cars out there, is that really worth it when the drivers can just drive in a way that they just manage and don't even push those cars to the limit? They should be pushing those cars to the absolute limit. That's when mistakes are going to creep in.
Mm-hmm.
Scrap the hard tyres. Only have two sets of tyre compounds. If you want to add in mandatory pit stops, then maybe we have two of those, but I don't think we need to, as long as we go for softer compounds, that it forces them anyway to do a two-stop strategy.
Well, exactly, because we saw Russell saying like he wanted to push, but he was fine in the position that he was towards the end. He wasn't, mm-hmm. you know, he can go slower and he wasn't going to lose that position. The team are saying, no, nurse the tyres, you know, let's just get it home. It's not a race in the end, but we are seeing this a lot with Formula One. But we should talk about Perez. So we speak about him a lot. You know, Perez gets a lot of stick. There's rumours, you know, flying around that, you know, he got offered a one-year contract. He's fought for a two-year contract. Does he still deserve this seat? And this is what everyone's talking about. It's a question on everyone's lips now. Should Perez stay? It was an awful weekend for him. Out in Q1, out in the race, you know, not great for him at all. But is it his fault? Red Bull are struggling. Max has said that. Perez has said that. They've changed a lot of parts of the car. They had to make the car a little bit more softer because they were struggling with the curbs and the bumps. They've changed parts. It wasn't the same in the simulator. You know, you can do all that you want in the sims, but it's getting it to the track. It can be completely different, and that's the problem they were having, you know, changing the ride height. All these problems, and they're still struggling. Are we seeing Red Bull in this time of weakness? And I said that last time, and everyone's like, no, no, no. It's just a one-off. You know, they'll be back. but we are seeing them struggling. You know, Canada, again, is a track that you need to kind of use those curbs. It's a little bit bumpy. Are they going to struggle there again? But it goes back to they're struggling, but is Perez underperforming?
I think after the last two races, you can definitely say Perez is starting to show that he is underperforming. Yes, okay, Red Bull didn't have a good weekend and, you know, their car wasn't suited to Monaco. Monaco's a unique circuit. If you're good in the slow speed, you're going to be, you know, top round here. And Red Bull used to be amazing at that. In the Mercedes dominance era, Mercedes were never, in the early stages at least, were never good at the slow speed tracks. And that's why Red Bull were always so good at Monaco and Mexico, because yeah. It was all about the aerodynamics and they had such a good aero package. Whereas it looks like at the moment, the Red Bull aero package maybe isn't as good as the likes of the Ferrari and the McLaren. But Verstappen struggled, qualified 6th or 7th. I think it was 6th in the end. Perez was out in Q1. That's a big difference in struggle. That's not just, you know, oh, I've struggled, but I'm 10th and my teammate's 6th. Okay, that's fair enough. You would look at those two positions and be like, okay, that's acceptable. But the fact that he's out in Q1, you know, this is a driver circuit. And a lot of it does rest on the driver at this stage. And yeah, I mean, we've had two very different circuits. Imola, bit of a mistake there. Okay, cool. Let's see what happens in Canada. If it's 3 in a row, Carlos Sainz is going to be looking at that seat thinking, you know, I'll happily take that for a year.
I'd love to see Sainz in that seat. You know, if Sainz isn't on the grid for next year, I will be absolutely fuming. And I was never a Sainz fan. Like I say every time, I didn't see what other people saw in Sainz. You know, I just thought, yeah, he's a good driver. There's lots of good drivers out there. But now he is showing himself. And yeah, he's making a few mistakes. At the start of the season, everyone was like, wow, Sainz, you know, where's he been? He's got amazing pace. Is he better than Charles? Now everyone's kind of like, oh, no. Maybe Charles is the better driver because Sainz has a little bit more mistakes that he's making. He needs to work on those as a driver and fix parts of his bad habits in his driver's craft. But if he got that Red Bull seat, I think he can show what he's got now. You know, put him in that seat, put him in that pressure. He's against Max Verstappen, the best driver on the grid, the top performing driver. Are we going to see him crack under the pressure? Or are we going to see him come on top of that pressure? So I'd like to see Sainz in that seat. But again, I do back Perez, and although he's underperforming, I wouldn't want to see Perez leave. And again, Perez, you know, brings a lot of sponsors to the team. He's bringing a lot of money. So again, that's why I think people favour Perez in the sport, you know, if it's on the money side of things. But also, he is a good driver. We just see a lot of inconsistency with him. But we always see this in the second Red Bull seat. So I just think it's going to be cursed. Who's going to come in and break this curse of, if you're a second Red Bull driver, you're going to struggle, essentially?
Yeah, potentially, and it could be exactly the same for Carlos Sainz going in there, but Red Bull will certainly be looking at not only Perez's performances, but where they are currently in the standings. Red Bull Racing lead the way, of course, 276 points. Ferrari, though, are in second, 252. Mm-hmm. Now, a gap of 24 points after 7-8 rounds, are we now, into the championship? It's close, and maybe a lot closer than they would like it to be, especially when, you know, Max Verstappen had been performing so well across the season and has, you know, so many races wins so far. He hasn't won 3 of the races, so I think he's got five or six race wins so far this season. And then your teammate is currently down in 5th position in the standings. And, you know, for Red Bull, it's not quite as comfortable as they would have liked it to be, thinking where they were at the start of the season. You know, Perez and Verstappen were very good at the start of the season, was looking good for Red Bull, but now it's a little bit nervy. Again, we're waiting to see what happens when we go to Canada. This is a one-off circuit. Red Bull might not have suited well here, but it could be business as usual back in Canada. And Verstappen again fighting up at the front. You know, I was fully expecting Verstappen once again, you know, struggling a little bit in practice, but then to pop up at the top of the timesheets in qualifying. And there were moments in qualifying that it looked like, oh, maybe, who knows what could happen. And then Q3, though, the other teams just really shone. And Verstappen unable to get himself up to the top. But yeah, things aren't looking as comfortable up at the top. So it looks like we could potentially have a Constructors' Championship fight. Also in the drivers, though, it's not as big as we were expecting as well.
It's
31
close.
Points is the gap between those two, Leclerc and Verstappen. And if this continues, you know, Ferrari have the better car from now on, potentially Leclerc could be playing catch-up and we could have a championship battle come the end of the season.
I think, you know, when Adrian Newey announced that he was leaving the team, it all went downhill from there. And although he's still there and he's still working on the car, something has gone on. Is it the Adrian Newey curse? potentially, because now it's like, oh, everything's going wrong. But yeah, once I saw there was 31 points between Max and Charles, I thought, we're onto something here. There can be a battle, but do I see Charles overtaking Max throughout the season? Like you say, if things keep going wrong with Red Bull, because I said this when we were watching the race on the weekend, they're lucky, Ferrari got lucky that Red Bull aren't in the position where they were at the start of the season. Because if they were, it would have probably been Max P1, who knows where Perez would have been, but somewhere. And then, you know, it'd be Ferrari third, fourth, whatever, if Perez was, you know, Max and Perez P1, P2. So they got super lucky. But I think that they are going to struggle at Canada, because it is all about, you know, that car isn't great when it comes to the curbs and the bumpiness of tracks. And we do have that at Canada. So that's why my fingers are crossed. I'm thinking, please, can we not have a Red Bull win? Let's keep this strain of Red Bull struggling and Red Bull showing their weaknesses, and let Ferrari come on top and let McLaren come on top. Because we all know I'm a massive Hamilton fan. So I'm thinking, if Ferrari can look great this season, let's see if they can bring it to the next season when Hamilton's there, and then see what happens. Because that's going to be really interesting. You know, who's going to be the better driver? Is it going to be Charles? Is it going to be Hamilton? If it is Charles, that makes Hamilton look quite bad, because everyone's going to be riding on him to be the best, maybe go for those championship wins again. So it's going to be really interesting. But let's end this, Hayden, on how did you rate the Monaco Grand Prix?
How did I rate Monaco? Are we rating it as the race or as the weekend? That's my question, though.
Do you know what?
Because there's technicalities in that.
To make it fair for Monaco, okay, we'll do both.
We'll do both. Okay, we'll separate them.
Yeah.
Okay, Monaco qualifying, a solid 9. Love qualifying. It's just mental around there. Incredible stuff. Not as good as last year. I think last year's qualifying was better because it was even closer. And, you know, Verstappen riding walls to put it on pole. Incredible stuff. But a 9 for me. Race, 1.
A 1.
1. It
a 1.
Sucked. We go 0 if you want.
Oh, Hayden is harsh today. Do you know what?
Nothing happened. Nothing happened.
I see it, but I think the start of the race was like, oh my gosh, what's going on? Perez's car is in bits. Where's the rest of the car? Magnussen again. I was like, I kind of liked all of that going on. So I see it. I see it. You know, the rest of the race was an absolute snooze fest. I think for me, yeah, the weekend itself, because like we say, quali's exciting and it is just a nice start of the weekend. I'm going to say not a 9. I think that's a little bit too much. I'm going to go with a 7, 8. Mm-hmm. Because I was still like, oh my God, this is exciting, but it's Monaco. So what is going to happen in the race? But the race itself, I'm going to be a bit nicer than you, Hayden. I'm going to give it a 3.
A 3.
Because
okay,
of the start, because of the start, because of a few little collisions, you know, we had Alpines up in the air and all sorts. So because of that, I'm going to say a 3, I think.
Okay, I'll accept the 3. I'll accept the 3. You didn't sit on the fence, so we're happy with that.
I've lost that now. I've got past that. I'm getting stronger and harsher with my opinions.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
It's time to get into my favourite part of the podcast, Hayden, which is the hot takes, where you at home send us your spiciest hot takes and Hayden and I rate them. So, Hayden, are you ready for the first one?
I am ready for what's probably some bashing on Monaco. Let's do it.
Most likely. And you would be right, because the first one is from Cigar Pancholi, and they say Monaco needs to be turned into a PR slash exhibition weekend to mark the start of the summer break. The cars are too big for the street circuit, an awful sporting event. Ouch.
Big ouch. Big, big ouch. Yeah, I mean, if Monaco were to leave, I would still love it to be a non-championship event. And I think that would still be really, really cool for drivers to take on. I think, as I say, Monaco needs to be changed in the sense that the cars need to be changed. We need smaller, lighter cars with strategical elements in terms of tyres, rather than this parade in which we can just drive as slowly as possible. I'm going to manage it because my car is the size of one of the yachts in the harbour, and you're not getting past unless you're Bottas or Stroll overtaking Sargeant. But that is it. That is it. Even Max Verstappen, you know, was unable to overtake George Russell on really old medium tyres. That's when you've got a big, big problem. You've got a huge problem in that sense. But if something were to happen and Monaco were, for whatever reason, scrapped, you know, F1 finally had enough, we're done, Monaco is out of here. Yes, I would love to see some sort of, yeah, PR event or some sort of special one-off event. There's a non-championship one, but maybe something that is just for prize money. Now, they have a lot of this, and I bang on about IndyCar. I've been getting on into it in the last season. Now, the race this season, that was for $1 million, I believe. It was a prize pool, and if you won, you obviously got the most amount of that money, and top five won money, I believe, in that. And then I think even the Indy 500, I think they were saying that like you win $3 million for winning that race. Now, that's what it could just be. It's all about the drivers. They all come with spec cars, and it is flat out to the line. Or they come with their own cars. You know, they come with the cars that they bring, and they're fighting for, you know, whatever the prize money is. And that would be a good way to sort of still have Monaco for the people like myself that love a Monaco weekend. But for those who don't want it as part of their F1 championship that you score points for. So, yeah, I kind of see it. The problem is with it moving to the summer is that they have a short window in which they have all their Monaco races. So Formula E, the historic GP that they do, and obviously the F1 race, because they have to put up all the barriers and everything, and then they take them down, and then they have, you know, half the year where there's no construction going on and half the year where there is construction going on.
Do you know what, Hayden? I think you make some good points there. It's not a bad shout to just do something. I always say that Monaco is a driver's parade, just a very fast driver's parade. It's not about the super close race, nor the overtakes or all the drama. It is more about the history, the glitz, the glamour, you know, everything maybe external to the actual racing. So I do think something else would be a lot better, but I wouldn't like to see it off the calendar completely in the sense of, you know, scrapping a race because quali is so exciting. Like, quali is really exciting at Monaco. It's probably the most exciting qualifying session that we see. So it's a hard one for me, really. Like, we're bringing back sitting on the fence for Monaco because it's amazing. You know, I'd love to experience a Monaco weekend. So if it did just turn into some sort of PR exhibition, some different money prize type of race, whatever it is, I would be quite sad. But I don't think we can stay in this place right now because we've mentioned all the problems of the cars and how big they are and things need to change completely. So you see, it's more competitive in other racing series. Why can't Formula One do that? Are they going to do that? Is it going to take a few years for them to go, do you know what? We've listened to all the fans. You're all right. We're going to change, whether it's the car, whether it's tyre strategies, types of tyres, whatever it is. There needs to be a massive change for Monaco. So don't take it off the calendar. But I'm massively on the fence with this hot take because, yeah, maybe it could be good as just a little PR exhibition weekend. It's difficult. It's really difficult because there's other tracks that aren't super exciting for the racing that I quite easily say, yes, goodbye, you know, you can take that off. You know, it's quite nice to have that on the F1 calendar for a few years, but whatever. Monaco is not one of those tracks that you can easily say goodbye to at all. When there was all this conversation on, is the track going to be renewed for the F1 calendar? And people were scared. You know, some people were like, yes, let's get Monaco gone. It's awful. No one needs it. And you had the other half of the fans saying, no, it's an amazing track. Obviously, like myself saying, it's an amazing track. It's history, whatever it brings. But I just don't think you can get rid of Monaco. F1 would not be the same without the Monaco Grand Prix at all.
It's the jewel in the crown of the Formula One calendar.
And I
would be very, very sad to see it fall off. If that decision were to be made, then it is what it is. But I would love for it to remain in some sort of capacity, and whether that is, you know, a one-off race once per season where, you know, prize money is won and other ex-drivers could be involved, just like the Indy 500 does do, where you have, you know, drivers who aren't part of the actual calendar. Of course, we saw Fernando Alonso, who wasn't, you know, part of the Indy series at all, but he jumped in for the Indy 500 and just did that event. And we see it with ex-drivers who, you know, I think it's Helio Castroneves, who had won it four or five times before, was trying to win it another time, and he isn't currently in the main series. So we could possibly see ex-drivers like Sebastian Vettel come back for that one-off race and one-off event. Mm-hmm. You know, the teams run three cars there. Whatever way we want to go with it, you know, we could have something like that where, if it were to go, we put it in this side of the Formula One calendar now. It's a one-off event. Let's do whatever we like with it. But yes, I would be sad to see it go. And for me personally, I wouldn't like to see it go. I want to see it remain. I enjoy it. But if you do get rid of it, please at least keep it in some form of capacity. I'd hate for it to just disappear forever.
Mm-hmm. You know who we should ask? Charles Leclerc. Was it Charles? It's your home race. But what do you think? You know, what needs to change for Monaco? We get all this stick about the Monaco Grand Prix. What are your opinions? So if we ever see Charles, that is the question that I will be asking him. So Hayden, what are you going to rate this hot take?
I think debating Monaco is always spicy. You always have fans like myself who love it. And, you know, whether it's for historical elements or because qualifying so great, will always back its corner. And then you'll have the other side of the coin that is like, no, the racing's terrible, get rid of it. I'm here for racing, I want to watch racing. If there's no racing, what's the point of it? Which is a fair and valid point. So it's always going to be a big, big debate. So I'm going to go with a four.
A four? That's quite spicy. Mm-hmm. I wasn't expecting that at all. I'm going to go with... It has to be lovely number three because I'm right smack bang in the middle of like, no,
yep.
Don't get rid of it. But yes, it needs to be changed and maybe it could be a PR, maybe it can't. So this is a difficult one for me because I always say that Monaco is one of my favourite Grand Prix, but there are so many problems in modern day Formula One. So yeah, spicy-ish. Okay, Hayden, the next hot take is from Murray State and they say, just make Monaco a sprint weekend only. The race is over after the first few laps anyway. I don't know what is going on in this hot take.
What are they thinking? Are they watching the same sprint races we're watching? I don't think a sprint race is going to make it any better.
People have issues with sprint races already. So I don't think you should bring a sprint race to a track that already gets a lot of stick. You know, maybe take it to a different track where a sprint race is more suited. A sprint race at Monaco, one, could either be chaos because everyone's pushing and everyone's colliding and there could be loads of crashes. Or it could be so boring because essentially it's just the race. It's just everyone's in the same positions and nothing is changing at all.
This person is like, that was so boring. Let's do it again. Let's do it tomorrow. Why not? Let's do it. Reverse grid sprint race.
Yeah, well...
Now, that would be interesting because overtaking is difficult and it would allow great opportunities for, you know, you have the state cars that are up at the front because they're yet to score so far this season. Logan Sargeant will be up there too. But you'll be having those cars that are a little bit quicker trying to overtake. Unfortunately, I don't think you have long enough to be able to do that around Monaco, despite having the advantage. And I think it just all comes down to cars. Nothing will change, no matter what we want to do, whether it's this, that, or the other. Unless the cars get smaller, the braking distances get longer, it's never going to be exciting at Monaco because you can't overtake. And we saw that. Such a good example that Max Verstappen, Mr. Aggression, right, could not get past George Russell when Max was on, I think he boxed around the 50s, lap 50, lap 40. George had been on those tyres, those medium tyres, since lap 3.
Mm-hmm.
And he can't overtake him Sorry, what is going on? What is the point? So the cars need to be fixed. I think this conversation, sprint races will do nothing. Mm-hmm. There'll still be no overtakes. There'll still be no action. There might be more crashes. And I know every Formula One fan is kind of different. Some Formula One fans like that there are crashes because it is so on the line. You know, you make a mistake and you are punished for it. And that is what they enjoy. And it's their version of that sort of spectacle that is Formula One. And, you know, having another race at Monaco, you're probably going to get more incidents, more accidents. But it's not going to affect the grid because the grid then is going to be pretty similar the next day. It doesn't mean we'll get an extra qualifying session, which I do like, but we also get an extra race, which is so far a bit boring.
Well, exactly. Because I think if you have a crash at Monaco, yes, it might take out a few people, but nothing else really changes the rest of the race. And that's what we saw. You know, we lost Hulk, Magnussen, Perez, but then nothing else changed at the front of the grid. It was like the same top 10. So that's the problem. Sprint races for me, I'm not a huge fan of them because, yes, I like more action on track, but they don't change anything for me because it's the race that's the issue. It's not changing quali or adding more before drama and action of the before the race. It's the race that needs to be changed. And this is what we always come back to with Monaco. If there's competitive racing in other racing series, it's clearly not the track that's an issue. It's the cars, or like we say about tyres, change that up. Maybe that will spice it up a little bit because then it's all about strategy. This person's coming at this time, and then, oh no, now this person's gone up the grid and whatever. So there's more drama going on, which is, yes, more orchestrated, but it's better racing. So it's what we like to see at the end of the day. So this hot take, is it spicy? Because it's quite funny. And that's why I think, okay, maybe. Maybe it's spicy in the sense of, what are you thinking? What is going on? So I'm going to rate this hot take. I'm actually going to give this hot take a 4 on the premise. Yes, on the premise that I think it is hilarious and I love it. I love the drama that you want to bring to the Monaco Grand Prix, the sprint race, but I just don't think it's going to happen.
Are we rating it based on how many people are going to be against this hot take? Because if that's the case, it's a 5. Because I think this might be one of a small group, and I mean very small. I mean, there's a fan club that you could fit inside maybe a Formula One cockpit, because it could just be one person who says they want sprint races at Monaco. No, it's a 1. This is a silly idea.
I love it.
No one's arguing against it. They'd be like, all right, mate, you go over there now. You go over there. The big boys are talking now. You go. It's just, unless the cars change. If the cars change, I'd love a sprint race at Monaco. You know, I'd love a reverse grid sprint race at Monaco where the cars can actually overtake. You know, we see in Formula E where they can overtake loads. If we had that many overtakes and we had a reverse grid sprint race, I'm all here for it. But with the cars we have right now, it is absolutely pointless.
Do you know what? It's so spicy, Hayden, because it's just so out of this world. And that is why I'm going to give you a 4 on that hot take. I think it's hilarious. Okay, let's get into the next one. This is from Kenny B. And they say the driver's champion will not be from a constructor championship team.
Ooh, okay. I actually potentially agree with this because we've seen a few cracks in Sergio Perez so far this season. The Constructors' Championship is getting a little bit closer. But what Ferrari have is they have two drivers who I feel like are very similarly matched. They're always within a couple of positions of each other. And that's usually near the front. You know, we saw it, Monaco, first and third. And we have seen it in recent races where they've both kind of been, you know, up there. Whereas Sergio Perez has been struggling the last couple of races. So potentially we could get a Ferrari Constructors' Champions and a Max Verstappen Drivers' Champion. So, yeah, I think this is possible.
I think potentially, but my brain is trying to compute this because I genuinely think it is going to be a Red Bull Constructors' win and then a Max Verstappen drivers win, unless Ferrari can, you know, find all this amazing pace and the perfect place they're in at the minute with the car, and potentially, you know, it's Charles takes that championship win. But I don't know, because like you say, obviously it's Perez that's obviously going to bring the constructors down, but unless he can sort it out, then I don't know, because, you know, if Max keeps getting P1s minus what we've been seeing recently, then Red Bull will be quite consistent, but there's a fight there, and that's what I'm kind of liking now. The start of the season was a bit bland and a bit boring. Everyone's like, oh, this is how it's going to be for the rest of the season. I was optimistic because I did not back McLaren at all. I agreed what they said in all the practice sessions and testing because they were like, we haven't got the pace, we're going to struggle this season. So I didn't put any money on McLaren. And then they started to creep up and show that they'll make an improvement. So I was like, oh, okay, now they're moving up the grid. The same with Ferrari. You know, they had pace at the beginning, but it was the Red Bulls that were the fastest. So then Ferrari started to creep up, and it is opening this question of, is it going to change the Drivers' Championship? Is it going to change the Constructors' Championship? Are we not going to have Red Bull winning both? But unless we see this streak of the downfall, let's say, of Red Bull and the weaknesses and Perez consistently underperforming and Max struggling as well, then potentially there might be a difference. But I think Red Bull might get back, unless they struggle at Canada, like I said. You know, they've already been mentioned that the car is not suited for Monaco. They're not great in those slow speed corners. They're also not great with the curbing as well. So if we have this at Canada, then you never know. It might be another Charles win or a Piastri or whatever, McLaren, Ferrari, which will obviously then bring them up the constructors. But I'm not super optimistic yet. So I don't agree with this hot take, but I'm open. I'm open for this to change. You know, maybe the next few races, it could happen.
What Ferrari need is to continue this development. I don't think Imola didn't show that they had made as much of a closing the gap to Red Bull as everyone expected.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's only one race. Then we've had a street circuit in Monaco, which is very different. So let's see what happens. Of course, Canada and the one after that. But if they can take another step forward and become that top team, but also very important for them, they need McLaren to improve as well and to jump above Red Bull, but not be ahead of Ferrari. Because if that were to happen, there'd be a higher chance of Max Verstappen, you know, being third as an average finishing position rather than first that he's had, or even second, you know. So we need, for that to happen, Ferrari need Red Bull and Verstappen really to be finishing at a minimum, fifth in those races. Mm-hmm. Perez, we've already seen, is slightly off the pace. So if Verstappen's falling down, Perez most likely is going to be, you know, struggling to be around that top 10 area. So we could potentially be seeing that across the season. If that were to happen, there's a great chance for Ferrari to sneak themselves in there, having two very consistent, very close drivers scoring good points for them. But Max Verstappen, the way he's been able to handle that car, even on the days when Red Bull haven't been that strong, still gives him a good fight for that championship as well. So I'm excited for the season potentially developing. Maybe that's a lot of optimism. Maybe I'm going to be disappointed in about five races' time. But I'm always optimistic. I'm hopeful that this could potentially happen, that we do have championship fights in both the tables. And let's just see how it all plays out.
Well, exactly. It's Formula One. We speak about this all the time, about recency bias. You're backing someone, you're backing a team, you're backing a driver, and then it changes because, you know, the team's struggling. So you're like, oh, maybe they're not doing as well this season. Maybe Max isn't going to win the Drivers' Championship. It's always changing. And that's what I do love about Formula One. You can have a super boring race, and then you can have the most exciting race. You thought Miami was going to be boring, and then it delivered. So you never know what's going to happen. So on this hot take, I'm going to give it a 3. Again, on the premise that it might happen, it might not, but I like this hot take. I think it's good food for thought.
Yeah, I'll also join you on a 3. I think it's a nice one. It's not super duper spicy, but it's also not stupid. it's not a claim that's just trying to get clicks. So I think a 3 is a nice place for it.
Yeah, we've had some good hot takes this week, Hayden. Thank you so much for sending them in. Don't forget, you can send them in and we'll debate them on the next podcast as well. Thank you, and we'll see you on the next one.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.